Welcome to today's edition of the Bible Class. Our teacher, Dr. Kenneth C. Hill, is teaching from the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. You may email your questions through the website at whcbradio.org. That's whcbradio.org. You may also mail your questions to the Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bumpville, Tennessee, 37617. And now, here is Dr. Hill with today's lesson.
Welcome to the Bible Class. We're continuing in our study of Jeremiah. We're in chapter 36, and we begin reading at verse 11. This is after Jeremiah had his scribe or his secretary, Baruch, take down the words of the prophecies and go read them. Let's go back to verse 10. Then read Baruch in the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord in the chamber of Jeremiah. Now, that's not to be confused with Jeremiah. It starts with a G, not a J. Jeremiah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the higher court, at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house in the ears of all the people, when Micaiah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Shaphan, had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord. Then he went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber, and lo, all the princes sat there, even Elishama the scribe, and Deliah the son of Shemaiah, and Elnathan the son of Achbor, and Jeremiah, the son of Shaphan, and Zedekiah, the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. And just all the good old boys sitting around in the palace. Then Micaiah delivered unto them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. Therefore all the princes and Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shemaliah, the son of Cushi, under Barak said, under Baruch said, take in thine hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the roll in his hand and came unto them. And they said unto him, sit down now and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. Now it came to pass, when they had heard all the words, they were afraid both one and other, and said unto Baruch, we will surely tell the king of all these words. And they asked Baruch, saying, tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? Then Baruch answered them, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Then said the princes unto Baruch, go hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. And they went in to the king, into the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama, the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama, the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. Let's stop right there. Let's understand that this writing of the prophecy that God had given to Jeremiah had now been read three times in its entirety. It had been rehearsed, that is, discussed several times, as we see in this narrative, but it had been fully read three times, including into the very ears of the king. And so God's word had been disseminated, had been distributed here by Baruch and by Jeremiah. Now the king was in his part of the house, part of the palace that was made for winter. It had a big fireplace there. And here the fire is burning. Verse 23, and it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Deliah and Jeremiah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. But the king commanded Jeharamiel, the son of Hamelech, and Sarai, the son of Azrael, and Shelmui, the son of Abdeel, to take Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet, but the Lord hid them. Now notice what this king is doing. This king is wanting to destroy the messenger as well as the message. The king is here being the despot that God has said he is. And then he sends these men out to find the scribe or the secretary and Jeremiah the prophet, but the Lord had them hidden. They had been forewarned, as you recall, from the people of the court that had a mind toward God. Verse 27, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll, and the words that Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll, and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, hath burned. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burnt this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out of the city to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed, and his servants, for their iniquity. And I will bring upon them, and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, upon the men of Judah, all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearken not. Then took Jeremiah another roll, and gave it to Baruch the scribe, and the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire, and there were added besides unto them many like words. Not only were the prophecies repeated, God added to those prophecies as well. Now, Baruch is a very interesting person, primarily because of his faithfulness. He was faithful to Jeremiah. He was Jeremiah's scribe or his secretary. He had a large part in recording Jeremiah's prophecies. He remained faithful to the Lord and to Jeremiah. According to God's word in Jeremiah 45:5, he was spared during the fall of Jerusalem. He accompanied Jeremiah into Egypt, and then we know no more of him. There are several ancient books that have his name attributed to them, even though we don't know who the authors are. And they are not part of the canon, but they are ancient books nonetheless. He was the son of Neriah, the brother of Sariah. King Zedekiah's quartermaster was Sariah. So that means that this secretary, Baruch, the devoted friend of Jeremiah, the faithful attendant of Jeremiah, seems to have been from a noble family, one that was in the court of the king. He could have been, probably, a high person of high position, had he wished to be in the king's court. But he stayed under Jeremiah's influence, did not follow his ambition if he had it, did not do as his brother being the quartermaster to the king, which was a high position. But he instead wrote down Jeremiah's prophecies and then read them publicly to all the people, as we saw there in chapter 36. The king, Jehoiakim, was greatly angered, and he had Baruch arrested, But there was no one to capture him because God had hidden them. And as we say, there at the end, Jeremiah and Baruch apparently both went to Egypt together. Now let's take a look at this thing that happens there in chapter 36 and verse 27. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after the king had burned the roll, and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, "Take thee again another roll, and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim the king of Judah burned." This is a notion, a presentation, a fact of the preservation of Scripture. God inspired our Scripture, what we hold in our hands, our 66 books of the canon, the Bible. And God inspired the Scripture, but He also has preserved the Scripture throughout the years. He's protected His Word from the attacks of evil men. He's preserved its content and its existence. The original manuscripts have long since disappeared, but ancient copies and quotations from early Christian leaders demonstrate the preservation of Scripture. If there were no manuscripts, a complete copy of the Scriptures could be reproduced simply from the many quotations found in the writings of the Church Fathers. God's preservation of Scripture was demonstrated in this ministry of Jeremiah when the king destroyed the first scroll, then there was a second. As we read the Scriptures, the fact that God has preserved them for us over the years should provide emphasis of the importance of God's Word. It's important for us to realize that the Bible is indeed God's Word and should be seen as such. It is the Holy Writ of God Himself. And as such, it is to be studied, understood, and obeyed. Let's get into chapter 37. And King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had made king in the land of Judah. But neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land did hearken unto the words of the Lord, which he spake by the prophet Jeremiah. We continue in a bad way, don't we? The society is falling apart because they refuse to follow God's man and God's instruction. And Zedekiah, the king, sent Jecuel, the son of Shelemiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Messiah, the priest, to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "Pray now unto the Lord our God for us." Now Jeremiah came in and went out among the people, for they had not put him in prison. Then Pharaoh's army was come forth out of Egypt. And when the Chaldeans that besieged Jerusalem heard tidings of them, they departed from Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord unto the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, thus shall ye say to the king of Judah, that sent you unto me to inquire of me, behold, Pharaoh's army, which is come forth to help you, shall return to Egypt into their own land. And the Chaldeans shall come again and fight against this city and take it and burn it with fire. Thus saith the Lord, deceive not yourselves, saying, the Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. For though ye had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, and there remain but wounded men among them, yet should they rise up every man in his tent and burn this city with fire." And it came to pass that when the army of the Chaldeans was broken up from Jerusalem for the fear of Pharaoh's army, then Jeremiah went forth out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin to separate himself thence in the midst of the people. And when he was in the gate of Benjamin, a captain of the ward was there, whose name was Arijah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Hananiah. And he took Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "Thou fallest away to the Chaldeans." Then said Jeremiah, "It is false. I fall not away to the Chaldeans." But he hearkened not to him. So Elijah took Jeremiah and brought him to the princes. Wherefore the princes were wroth with Jeremiah and smote him and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison. They were mad at him because of his prophecy. The prophecy was from the Lord, not from him. He was imprisoned and he was beaten. Verse 16, when Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days, then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out, and the king asked him secretly in his house and said, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. For, said he, thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. Moreover, Jeremiah said unto the king Zedekiah, what have I offended against thee, or against thy servants, or against this people, that you have put me in prison? Where are now your prophets, which prophesied unto you, saying, the king of Babylon shall not come against you, nor against this land? Therefore, hear now, I pray thee, O my lord the king, let my supplication, I pray thee, be accepted before thee, that thou cause me not to return to the house of Jonathan the scribe, lest I die there. Then Zedekiah the king commanded that they should commit Jeremiah into the court of the prison, that they should give him daily a piece of bread out of the baker's street, until all the bread in the city were spent. This Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Now he was in the court of the prison, he was not in the dungeon of the prison. And that was more of an open courtyard where you could meet people and talk to people, and people were coming and going. So that was a far better place than being in the dungeon itself. Now, cisterns were often used for imprisonment. They would also use cisterns to bury the bodies, to just throw slain people into them. And what happened here, apparently, was at Jonathan the scribe's house, there was a cistern, and they used it as the dungeon. And that was a very, very poor place, very bad place to be. In chapter 38, we'll continue reading of Jeremiah's imprisonment. There are five phases, by the way, of Jeremiah's imprisonment. According to Schofield, there are these five things. One, he's arrested in the gate, committed to a dungeon on the false charge of treason. Second, he's released from the dungeon but restrained to the court of the prison. Three, he's imprisoned in the miry dungeon of Malachiah. Four, he is again released from the dungeon, kept in the prison court until the capture of the city. And five, he's carried in chains from the city by Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, until he's finally released at Ramah, in Jeremiah chapter 40. Now we continue with his imprisonment here in chapter 38. Then Shephatiah, the son of Mattan, and Gedaliah, the son of Pashur, and Jukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Pashur, the son of Malachiah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken unto all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, he that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, but he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for a prey, and shall live. Thus saith the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. Therefore the princes said unto the king, we beseech thee, let this man be put to death, for thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of the war that remain, men of war that remain in this city, in the hands of all the people, in speaking such words unto them, for this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt. Well, they were lying. It's not true. It may be the way they saw it, but it's not true. Yes, he probably did cause the hands to weaken in the men of war because they were hearing the truth. But it was the truth. That's the whole point. It was the truth. It was God giving a warning through his servant, and the people refused to hear it. They would not hear it as a warning. They would not hear it from God. Verse 5, then Zedekiah the king said, behold, he's in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you. Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malachiah, the son of Hamelech, that was in the court of the prison, and they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire, so Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Now when Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house, heard what they had that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, "My lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city." Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, "Take from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah from the prophet from the dungeon before he die." So Ebed-Melech took the men with him, and went into the house of the king under the treasury, and took thence old cast clouts and old rotten rags, and let them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah.
Thank you for joining us today for this edition of the Bible Class with Dr. Kenneth C. Hill. You may reach us by email by going to our website, whcbradio.org, and sending us an email on the Contact Us link. That's whcbradio.org. If you prefer to use the postal service, our address is The Bible Class, WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Blountville, Tennessee 37617. That's The Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Blountville, Tennessee 37617. You may also call us at 423-878-6279. Until our next Bible Class program, we are trusting that the Lord will richly bless you as you serve Him.